I'm going to talk about the Word, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. I sing it all. Anybody remember that old song? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's an awesome song. So many people have memorized the song, but they never looked in the book. We was talking today. I'm not a gardener. I can't even make excuses. I mow my weeds about once a week. That's what we have, weeds. And we've got these dandelions. Everybody got dandelions in your yard? I hate them things. You mow them things, and they pop right back up. It's like they see you coming and go, here you go, stuck. And pops right back up. You know how many times you mow them? I mowed them on Friday. Come back. I had to go do a wedding for my nephew yesterday. Get back this morning. Come to church. There's them dandelions sticking back up. And say, see you later, Pastor. Enjoy church. I'll be here when you get home. Well, Vicky bought some weed kill. Some weed kill. You know, it'll kill them dandelions. But it's still in the container. And it's sitting in our garage or somewhere outside. You know, we can have weed killer all day long. We can even set the weed killer amongst the weeds. And they'll just look at it and goes, hey, what's up, dude? You know, weed killer don't work unless you pump it out and put it on the weeds. And the Bible don't work unless you take it out and apply it to your life. And so many people say, well, Pastor, I've tried being a Christian. I just can't figure it out. My question is, are you doing the right things that will help you get there? Because, hey, this journey is wrought with difficulty. There's peril all around us. There are going to be doubts internally. There's going to be forces outside of you. But if you don't read it and learn it and apply it in your life, then you're not going to be able to hold on to Jesus. Because he was the Word who came in the flesh. He was the Word that dwelt among us. But it also says in that Word, that same Word that tells us and instructs us, that our faith is built up by what? His Word, which is the Word of God. And so what I want to talk about this morning, and I hope it causes you to shout and praise Jesus, but it's an important principle that we all need to live by. It's the work of the Word in your life. And I can promise you that if you apply the Word, it will work. There was a new minister who went to a church, and it was a new church. He was figuring out people's names and stuff. And a Sunday school teacher called out one Sunday morning. And she said, I can't make it. I'm sick, and I need. So he took it as an opportunity. It was the junior high boys. It was the middle school boys. And he said, well, I'm going to teach the middle school boys a lesson about Joshua. Anybody remember a couple of weeks ago I preached on Joshua and the walls came tumbling down? He says, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to teach these boys about Jericho and how the walls came tumbling down. Well, he went into the classroom and he opened up with a question. He said, boys, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Boys looked at each other. Boys, come on, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And little Tommy said, well, I didn't knock down the walls of Jericho. And Billy said, well, I know I didn't walk down the walls of Jericho. And all of them said, we don't know, but we didn't do it. We promise. He said, boys, are you serious? You don't know who knocked down the walls of Jericho? But Pastor, we promise we didn't do it. I promise there's maybe somebody else in church. We didn't do it. Well, he was totally distraught. At his next council meeting, he gathers his council members around him. He said, men, we've got a problem here. I went down to the junior high boys class, and I asked them who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and not one of them knew who done it. They didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And he was sharing how this was terrible and how that they didn't know, how they could not know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And finally, one of the council members looked at him and said, now, Pastor, we trust these boys. And if they said they didn't knock them walls down, we know they didn't. And we'll take up an offer, and we'll rebuild those walls of Jericho if we need to. But I don't think them boys would lie. That's a funny story, but it's a sad truth. How many of our kids, how many of adults that are walking the earth that came to church was there to learn about Jesus and they don't even know a simple Bible story? I came to church here several years ago. It's been almost nine, going on 9 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? Time flies when you're having a great time. One of the things that we noticed when we walked in is that we didn't have many children. And the lady, bless her heart, she is older, that had been doing the children's ministry. I think she had done a good job over the years, but she had grown weary. And what had happened is there was a lot of videos in storage down there. And there were a lot of popsicle sticks in storage down there. And I'm afraid that we've turned ministry not only to children, but to adults about videos and popsicle sticks. And can I tell you, VeggieTales is a wonderful thing. But VeggieTales can't replace us sharing the word and bringing it to life to a young person and to a person who's a new believer. We have people in this room right now that maybe you just started following Jesus. Maybe you have been going to church all your life and you just never could figure out, you know, what's going on here. Can I tell you the secret to success in the faith walk with God is the growing in, falling in love not only with Jesus, but falling in love with his letter to you and I. It's a love letter written to you and I. From Genesis to Revelation, he shares with how we all started, how we fell away, how God looked at us and said, I'm still going to save you even though you chose other means and other ways. It's a story of God's love affair with humanity. It's a story of how Jesus came and he loved and he expressed his love as he walked among the people, how he gave his life for you and I in that loving manner, and how now he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, sitting, making intercession for you and I, even in our worst of moments. He's loving us. He's caring for us, and we must fall in love with what he left behind for us to grow in our discipline and discipleship for him. Someone once asked the question, what's happened to our nation? Can I tell you, it's not been the failure of a political party today. What has happened to our nation is not because darkness has grown darker. The reason our nation, the reason our world is in the shape that it's in today is because you can only extinguish darkness with the light of his love and his grace and his mercy. Darkness is dispelled when the light comes on. And so this morning, I want you to understand that the word has to work in your life before it will work in your community. And that's a personal challenge to every single person here today. Is the word working in your life? Are you reading his word? Are you meditating upon his word? Are you diving in to his word? Because I'm telling you, there is the secret to our success. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy, one of his disciples. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I understand. Look, I come to you as a man that's on a journey just like you are. I am not an avid reader. I read because I have to read. And it's an important part of my job. And as a kid, I didn't get a great joy from reading. My mother was an avid reader. She would sit for hours and read and read and read. And I'm like, how can you read a book when the TV's on and it's loud? I just love reading. I've never been that kind of person that loves to read. Now, I read because I need to, and I read because it's important for me to grow as a believer in Christ. Now, I know there's different ways that you can get the word, and I would encourage you, I'm just going to do a little caveat here. If you struggle reading, get a DVD of the Bible and put it in your car or put it on an app in your phone. You can literally listen to God's word. And I want to tell you something. It will make a difference in your life. That word, the Bible says about itself that it is living, meaning it's a living being in your life that will make a difference in your life, but it has to be applied. I want to share four things that the Bible does for us as believers, which makes us more equipped to make a difference in the world. Look, I can't tell you what's going to happen in our country. I can't tell you how things are going to end up for our nation. But one thing I do have a confidence in, that God is still in control, that God is sovereign, that God knows what's going on, and that if I put my hope and my trust in God, God will sustain me. God will help me whatever I face. God will strengthen me whatever I must endure. God will give me the joy and the peace and the strength that I have need of. But it's important that you apply God's word. The first thing God's word gives us is a revelation. It gives us a revelation of who God is. He shows himself through the word. He talks about how he's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at all times. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's a God that has an ability to be here today, and he's at yesterday, and he will be there tomorrow. And the word gives us that revelation of who God is. He's also my Jehovah God, my Jireh, my healer, my deliverer, my peace, my strength, my hope, my joy. He is the God that has been in the earth all since the beginning, and he will be there when the earth is no more. God shows himself. But not only does he reveal himself, God reveals his plan. We see in the early writings of Scripture where he talks about man and its beginning, his beginning, and how we fell away, and then how God developed a plan to restore us. And then we see Jesus come to the forefront in the New Testament, and he begins to express the love of God in the flesh and being amongst the people, sharing, going through the struggles and the sorrows that they endured. We see his plan, and then we see Jesus upon the cross. We see Jesus in the grave. We see Jesus resurrected. We see Jesus now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, making intercession for me. This is all within the Scripture. This is all within the plan of God. But not only does he give a revelation of himself or a plan that he's given us, he also reveals that he knows who we really are. I love the Scripture where it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love in Psalms where he talks about in Psalm 139 that from the very beginning of time, before my mom and dad ever thought of me, Brother Jake, God was thinking of me. He said, I knew the very days that were numbered in your life before you were even born. God knows who you are. God knows what you've gone through. God sees what's going on in your life. You can't hide from him, but if you'll expose it to him, he'll bring the strength and the healing. He'll restore you to a better place. He'll give strength for whatever you're dealing with. That is the plan. That is a revelation of God we see in his word. He knows us, and yet he loves us. What an awesome God. What an awesome King. And with every revelation that I get, I've been serving the Lord now for over 30 years consistently. I got saved when I was a boy. Young teenager, you've heard the story. It's many of you, same story. Teenager, you got disgruntled, you got discouraged, you just didn't feel like it was working for you, so you sort of figured something out for yourself for a little while. God didn't leave you alone. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you try to do your own thing. You say, hey, God, I'm going to do this. He says, no, I'm still here. But God gave me revelation through his word. And every time he's given me a revelation for a moment, that revelation leads to another revelation, which leads to another revelation. Some of you have been swimming in the shallow water too long. Some of you have been swimming in shallow water much too long. You know, I loved to swim as a kid. And I can remember when I actually got where I could get out in the deep. You know, because it looked like the kids were having more fun out in the deep. You know, I'm over here doing this, bubbles on the, I don't know, I didn't have bubbles, that's before bubbles. You know, finally my dad took me down in the river when he had confidence that I could learn to swim or had learned how to swim. He threw me in the deep. And at first I was petrified. What am I going to do? But all of a sudden, all the teaching and all the training, and I got a revelation. I could swim. And the second part of that revelation was I could swim in the deep. I could go out with the big guys. I could go out and have fun. And all of a sudden, I got to experience the water in a whole new way. Can I tell you, if you'll begin to dive into God's word, if you'll begin to just trouble the waters a little bit and get there a little deeper and search the more depth of what God is, you'll begin to see a revelation of God far different than you see from the shallow end. And can I tell you, when God gets you out in the deep, he's got you in a place where you're going to depend upon him, where you're going to lean upon him, where his spirit will lead you and guide you. And I can promise you today, when you go that way, God will lead you into deeper places. But where God leads you, he'll be there with you. He'll be there to sustain you. He'll be there to open your mind to the greater things that he has for you. Where are you in your walk with God? You're still playing over in the kiddie pool? Or are you letting him lead you, reveal himself to you? See, the psalmist said in 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know most of you have a big old flashlight at home. If the electricity ever goes out, you know you can grab a hold of that light and you can turn it on and then you get you through. Last night I got up to go to the bathroom about 4 o'clock. I forgot I left a suitcase sitting right at the foot of my bed. Sure wish I'd have had a flashlight. But that word is a lamp for you. It's a light for your path. But not only does His Word give revelation, it gives inspiration. We read through the Bible the stories about Joshua and Jericho. We read about things like the Gideon, who was known as nobody from the nobody tribe, but how God took Gideon and He used him to deliver the nation of Israel. We read about Rahab, who was a spy in Jericho, who was a prostitute, but yet she had a fear of the living God. And when the spies showed up and they talked to Rahab, she gave them shelter and she said, "Don't forget me when you take the town down." See, she already knew what was going to happen and she was making preparation. And when the walls came down, they gave Rahab rest. They gave her a place where she could be a part. And can I tell you, Rahab became the lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't make any difference where you come from. It doesn't make any difference what you've done at this point. If you'll turn it over to God and if you'll let His Word work in your life, He will invigorate your faith. He will help your faith to grow and to become stronger. And then you will understand things in a more clear, concise way. His Word inspires you and invigorates your faith. His Word also challenges your will. Some of us, we try to fight a spiritual battle through fleshly means. You know, the greatest weapon you have in a spiritual warfare is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. You try to do battle with your own intellect. You try to do battle with your own will. But this very Word would challenge your will. This Word tells me there's a battle within me. There's a flesh and there's a spirit. And if I allow the Word to nourish my spirit, I will overcome my own fleshly will. And I'll begin to walk in joy. I'll begin to walk in peace. I'll begin to walk in long-suffering and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and the self-control that I desire by letting the Word do its work in me, letting it challenge my will. It'll also stir me up emotionally. I love hearing the good stories of the old Word of God. I like reading about Peter, who was a fisherman out on the Sea of Galilee, didn't even know who Jesus was, but all of a sudden he took a fisherman that was not knowledgeable about the Word, but he puts his anointing upon him and he calls him out. And even when he fails, he doesn't give up on him. And the evangelist that speaks and 3,000 get saved, it's because Peter, a man that no one saw worth in, but yet Peter became one of the rocks of the church. And can I tell you, he's called some of you here today to special purposes and reason. And if you'll let that Word get in your life, it'll stir you. It'll tell you that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It'll tell you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It'll tell you that the battle I fight is not my own. It is by the Spirit of God. And you'll begin to lean upon the arm of God. And you'll begin to lean upon the strength of God. And it will empower your hope. Empowers your hope. We've got a little slogan here. We just changed our name, most of you know. New sign's going to go up. And the part of the sign, the bottom slogan is, bringing hope back to Hopewell. How ironic that a city called Hopewell, where I encounter so much hopelessness. Why? We're putting our faith in the wrong things. We're chasing after the wrong things. You want hope? Put your faith, put your trust in the One that gives hope to all. He's the light of the world. He's the One that's given us strength. The Lord will inspire the believer to the point where not only will they attempt the impossible, they will succeed. The impossible things, walking on water, unbelievable, impossible, yet with God anything's possible. God's Word will inspire us. Romans 15 and 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The Word of God, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, is the greatest weapon you have. But yet we Christians don't use it. We don't use it. We set it on a shelf. We'll pick it up occasionally. Most people in America today rarely pick up a Bible on any given day. Most people's devotional life, according to statistics, is less than 5 minutes a day. And then we want to do spiritual battle. We need to put our trust in Him. God's Word also gives information. It gives information. You see, we sometimes in the Pentecostal churches, or if you didn't know you're in a Pentecostal church, don't get nervous, it's all good. But we in the charismatic movement, we tend to get carried away emotionally. And we like that. I like going to church where I can raise my hands and everybody look at me, "Hey, wait a minute, what's wrong with this guy?" No, it's cool. We're worshiping the Lord. We're loving on God. But we sometimes get carried away emotionally because we want everything to feel good. And so we don't get a good feeling, all of a sudden God's deserted us. That's flawed information. If that's information, then old Job was pretty hopeless. Yeah? You know, if that's the right information, some of the characters of the Bible really have nothing for us. But yet we see some of the strongest people in the Word of God go through the most challenging times. Challenging times. See, God is with us. There's a story told about a young man who went to Bible college, went to seminary, he's getting ready to graduate, found a beautiful woman that he wanted to make his bride. And so he arranges to meet with her parents, and they have dinner. And during the dinner, the father begins to want to find out a little bit more about him. What's he going to do? He's got a daughter. He wants to be able to know that she's going to be taken care of. He says, "Now, young man, I know you're going to seminary, and that's awesome. I'm glad you're doing it, but I want to know what you're going to do when you get out of school." He says, "I'm going to pray and read God's word, and the Lord will provide." He said, "Well, that's cool. That's awesome. God's good. I love that." He says, "Yeah, but son, how are you going to make a living?" He says, "I'm going to pray and read God's word, and the Lord will provide." He said, "Well, that's good, but where are you going to live?" "Oh, I'm going to pray and read the word, and God will provide." "It's okay, but I mean, if you can't find a job praying and reading the word, and you need to actually make a living, where are you going?" "I'm going to pray and read the word, and God will provide." He kept doing this over and over the entire night. He kept doing this. What? All right, finally they left, and the wife, she's eager to know what's happened. She says, "All right, now tell me about him." "Yeah, he seems like a good guy." She says, "Well, what is he going to do when he gets out of school?" She says, "Well, I don't know." He says, what's he going to do? How's he going to make a living?" She says, "I don't know." He says, what do you mean you don't know?" She says, "All I know is he ain't got a job, he ain't got no plan, and he thinks I'm the Lord." You got to put something into it. What did James say? Faith without works is dead. You got to apply it through the Bible. It informs us how we can receive Christ. If you're here today, before you leave, get this situated in your life. Confess your sins. You say, "Well, I don't know what sin is." Well, the worst thing, you know what sin is. People will act like they don't. We sort of hide from it. We all have a propensity to do things we should not do. Amen? Confess it and accept Jesus. Say, "Lord, this is bigger than me. I receive you." The Bible tells us, Romans 10 and 9 says, if we confess our sins and do what? Believe in our heart, then we shall be made right with God. Confessing. It shows us how to overcome sin. In the Word of God, it tells us that all of us are given to temptation. All of us are human beings, and we're drawn away by our own desires. That's right. The Bible also tells us to flee from temptation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 that there is no temptation which is common to man, but God will provide an escape. See, this is the Word of God coming alive. How to defeat the devil. Jesus understood how to defeat the devil. It is not by your strength. It is not by what you know. You can say, "Well, devil, I go to the City Point Restoration Church of God, and we're bad there. We got Jesus moving in our lives." He couldn't care how bad you are. He couldn't care about who you are. He doesn't respond to your words. But when you say, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty," Jesus was facing that same struggle. The devil came against him, and the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, I want you to throw yourself off of this temple." He didn't say, "I'm the Son of God, you can't mess with me." He said, "No, thus saith the word thy God, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He did it three times. Three times the devil tried to come against him. Three times he rebuked him with the word of God. And the devil left him. How do you overcome? How do you reach others? By letting the love of God so penetrate your life that it just falls out of you. If we would fall in love with Jesus as much as we are in love with everything else about our communities, there would be no trouble in Jesus being seen. Jesus did not give political arguments. Jesus did not try to reason with people. He just lived out his life in faith, obeying the word that he knew. Abraham Lincoln stated very clearly that the Bible, this book, if we did not have this book, we would not even know what right and wrong are. Now, you won't hear that spoken of much in our world today, but our forefathers, those that helped establish this country, believed in the word of the Lord. The psalmist said in 119, 10 and 11, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word," everybody say word, "I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." He brings revelation, inspiration, information, and he brings restoration. And that's the awesomeness of God and his word. No matter where you've gone, no matter what you're dealing with, you may be today worn out. You may be at the end of your rope. You may have tried every avenue. Your physical energy is drained. You're emotionally a zombie right now. Perhaps that's you. Whatever you're dealing with, He wants to restore. He wants to restore you. His word is always about restoration. His word is always about bringing you what you need. Jesus said in the word of God, "Come to me, all that are weak and heavy laden, and you will find rest. My yoke is easy." Some of you carrying a yoke much too big for you to carry. You're trying to figure it out emotionally, spiritually. You're trying to carry this weight. And what you need to do is release yourself to the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Begin to let the word speak to you, bring healing to your life. And I can promise you the emotional healing you need, the physical healing you need, the mental healing you need, and the spiritual healing you need will be there for you. The question is not what God will do or what God wants to do. The question is, what are you willing to do to let Him work in your life? You see, God's promises are not based on our abilities, but His abilities. His abilities and not our inabilities. I'm not asking you what you can't do. What can you do for God today? What is the one thing that you can do? Give it to Him. Leave the impossible for Him to work out. Trust in Him for the things such as. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to give you a few things that are useless for you to do. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. How many spend time worrying about things? Raise your hand if you don't mind. Just raise your hand. You worry. I got four grown, adult people that Vicki and I were, am and still are a father and a mother too. I do not call them children any longer because I've been told they're not children any longer. And a day goes by that I don't think about them, pray for them, worry about them. And there's part of me wants to hold them tight to me. Don't move away from me. Don't go away. That never goes away. We were sitting in front of Vicki's mom. We went and did the wedding. We had lunch with her yesterday. Vicki and I are going to go to Israel again. If you don't know, I went a couple years ago. I said I would never go back unless the door opened for her and I both to go. And the Lord has opened a door for her to go with me. Am I scared? Well, yeah, I'm scared. Everybody would be scared. I get scared driving to home today. You never know what's going to face you. Are there challenges meeting us? Of course there are. But if I let fear win, which is what worry is based upon, fear. If I let fear win, I do nothing. I drive slowly, speed limit, cautiously home. I sit in my house. Then I come back to the church. I go nowhere where I'll risk my life because for fear of what may come against me. Jesus said, "Why do you worry? It's a useless cause." Jesus said in the word, "Do not worry. Do not worry. For the ravens neither sow nor reap. But yet, they still eat. They still have something to eat. And why do you worry about clothes or other things such as this? Consider the lilies who neither toil nor spin. But there's nothing more arrayed than them." Word of God tells me that He's not given me a spirit of fear, but of a power, of hope, and of love when we trust in Him. It's not easy. It's hard to apply it. How do you apply it? By constantly meditating upon the Word. Going back to the Word. See, it becomes second nature. It becomes something. How many brush your teeth every single day? I hope, raise your hand. If you don't, just do it. You brush your teeth. Why do you brush your teeth? Well, I know as adults, we brush our teeth because we visit the dentist and he tells us we got cavities, right? But as kids, you're like, "I don't got time to brush my teeth, Mom, Dad." I can remember having this argument with my own mom. "I don't want to brush my teeth." "Trust me, son, you need to brush your teeth." And so I was made to brush my teeth all the time. Now, I'm 51 years old. I brush my teeth. I still have teeth because I brush my teeth. And I kept doing it. And it's just routine. First thing I do when I get up, brush my teeth. Somewhere in the routine, I'm going to brush my teeth. You get the word in you, it becomes a routine. And then the devil comes against you, Brother Dale, with fear and worry, and tells you, I'm going to destroy you. I say, thus saith the word of God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. The word says and tells me that you can't come against me. Oh, you may give me trouble. You may give me trial and tribulation. The enemy may come against you, Ronnie, and try to convince you that your life is over. But my Bible tells me that God's in charge of my life, and I will be living for him and trusting him. Oh, Lee, they may tell you that your lungs may not be healed, but I still choose to believe that my God has the power to bring healing. Why? Because my Bible says so. I have hope in him. Do you? Lastly, and then I'm going to give an invitation. Somebody needs to turn it over to the Lord today. And you need to pick it up. And you need to start building your life upon his principles and his truth. You say, Pastor, I've made promises to God and I've failed. I've given up. I don't think he can forgive me. Oh, I'm told by the precious word of the Lord that he is faithful and just. That if I will confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness and set me right. I'm told from his word that when I confess my sin, he throws them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. I tell you today, give it unto the Lord. Trust in his name. Don't lean upon your own thought and intellect and your failures. Let the truth of God's word shine through. And he will enlighten your path. And he will lighten your load. Bow your head. Father, I have preached your word. And I pray right now, God, if there's someone here that they're under the load of the enemy, God, let them reach out to you one more time. Let them call out to you and allow you to restore their lives, their hopes, their dreams. Restore emotional, physical, mental distress today. God, let them hear your voice. And let them answer your call. In Jesus' name. Jeremiah 30 and 17 states, for I will restore health to you and healing you of your wounds. This is a word of the Lord today. This is a rhema word of the Lord. Everybody know what a rhema word is? It's a living word. It's for somebody here today. Because they call you outcast. The enemy tells you, you're no count, you ain't worth nothing, you've always failed, you'll always be a failure. God's called you out. Why? Because he sees in you something beautiful. Will you answer the call? Will you let him speak to you today? The altars are open. If you want to come and pray, see what God has for you, please give him an opportunity. Amen.